Frank Zappa, everybody. Two for Tuesday from Mike. Yeah. Mr. Green Jeans, Frank Zappa, that's your Two for Tuesday. Two for Tuesday request, 312-981-7200. Also, your memorable favorite Christmas albums, 312-981-7200, call or talk or text. And we have some very bizarre holiday albums. Now, before the break, we were talking about, I got off on a tangent on Top Chef because I'm a dork who takes notes during the show. and have watched it since the very first episode. Harold is still my favorite of all the Top Chefs. He's the first. He's the best. I love Harold. Love him. So anyway, I was talking about Top Chef in order to get to American Idol. Now, the first bizarre holiday album is, are you ready for this one, Esmeralda? You probably know where I'm going with this.
What is it?
Hung for the Holidays.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Good old William Hung. Hung appeared as a contestant on American Idol 2004 and blew the world away with his rendition of Ricky Martin's She Bangs. Oh, yeah, he blew the world away with that. His career ended in October 2004 when he released his second album, Hung for the Holidays, which only sold 35,000 copies. Would you like to hear William Hung's version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Esmeralda?
Oh, sure.
Here we go.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Reindeer.
Had a very shiny nose,
like a light bulb.
And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows
like a flashlight.
All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names,
like Pinocchio.
They never let poor
Rudolph
join in any reindeer game,
like Monopoly.
They wouldn't let. That's a reindeer game? Monopoly is a reindeer game? Really?
Yeah, that's what we used to sing.
Okay. you know, after the William Hung thing, that because I used to watch American Idol. I think I've watched every. Now, I stopped during the last couple of seasons of American Idol, but for a while I watched it every year. Every January I'd watch it, And during the auditions, there were always, like, after the William Hung thing, it just got ridiculous. Like, there were so many morons who came on the show. And, of course, you know, they let them embarrass themselves because it was good TV. But the greatest guy ever that falls into the William Hung category ever is Pants on the Ground. The king. Pants on the Ground.
Yes.
That guy, I can't remember his name. You can probably Google it. Larry Platt. Thank you, Dan. Larry Platt, Pants on the Ground. I'm telling you, I almost peed myself when he was doing Pants on the... Do we have Pants on the Ground? Here we go.
Ready when you are.
Okay, ready?
1, 2, 3.
Pants on the ground, pants on the ground. Looking like a fool with your pants on the ground. With the gold in your mouth, hat turned sideways, pan hit the ground. Call yourself a cool cat, looking like a fool. Walking down the town with your pants on the ground. Giddy up. Hey, get your pants off the ground. Looking like a fool, walking, talking with your pants on the ground. Giddy up.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, get your pants off the ground. Looking like a fool with your pants on the ground. Go in the mouth.
Okay.
Hat turns
okay.
Right. Hey, get the ground. Call yourself
thank
a fool.
You.
Yeah, looking like a fool. Walking, talking with your pants on the ground. Boom.
Whoa.
Bam. Pants on the ground. Gold in your mouth, head turn sideways, pan hit the ground.
Larry,
call yourself
Larry,
a cool kid.
Thank you. Larry, what was that song called?
So, was that Mary J. Blige?
Yes. I don't know the other one, but there's a fourth panelist. But yes, Mary J. Blige is one of them.
There was a fourth panel. So it was Randy, it was Simon, Mary J. Blige, because she's the one who's laughing. Like Mary J. Blige was cry laughing during that. And I can't remember who the fourth judge was. But, man, that was the greatest. And that guy... I wish he would have released a Christmas album. So 35,000 Hung for the Holidays. Kathy says, favorite Christmas albums as a kid. We always had the Sing Along with Mitch Christmas album going on as we decorated. We had Christmas dinner and wrapped gifts. These days, our go-to album is John Denver and the Muppets. That's a great album. That's a great album. Christmas Together. When my nieces and nephews got older, I made sure they all got a copy of that album. Troy says, my top five Christmas albums, if every day was like Christmas, Elvis Presley. It's Elvis Presley's Christmas album from 1958. And then the one of the Wonderful World of Christmas from 71 on one CD. Well, Elvis released a few Christmas albums, all good. All good. Christmas Song by Nat King Cole, classic. You know who wrote that song? Dan, you know who wrote that song, right?
No.
My good friend Mel Torme.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, he wrote the Christmas song. And I believe he wrote it right after I told him where to get a good tuna salad.
I was going
to
ask if you wrote it over a tuna salad.
I've told you the Mel Torme stories, right?
No.
We'll have to do that sometime.
Okay.
I'll go off on another tangent otherwise. Fresh Air Christmas by Mannheim Steamroller. A Christmas Gift for You, Phil Spector. Perhaps the greatest Christmas album of all time. Do you know that album, Esmeralda, the Phil Spector Christmas album?
I do not.
Oh, my God. Google it and look up the artists that are on there. It's the I think it's the best Christmas album of all time. And then Christmas Eve and Other Stories by the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. People like that Trans-Siberian Orchestra. How about the other one, the Mannheim Steamrolling? People like the Mannheim Steamrollings. All right. Here's the one that I grew up listening to, my parents and I. Is the Johnny Cathis, the Johnny Mathis Christmas album, the first Johnny Mathis Christmas album. That's way up on my list of favorites. All right, and then we'll get back to weirdo albums too. All right, all coming up right here. News is coming up next. (773) area code requests. Two for Tuesday. Yeah, two for Tuesday. Lou Reed, the great Lou Reed with Rock and Roll Heart. Are we just going to have artists that died too young this morning? Is that what's happening? Both great artists, but I don't want to be depressed. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How you doing? We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Esmeralda and I are going to go head-to-head in Thunderdome. for Celebrity Name Game a little bit later on. But we're talking about your favorite Christmas albums. Which ones did you grow up listening to? And I got a list here of really bizarre Christmas albums. All right, Esmeralda, here's the next entry for the bizarre Christmas albums.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas on Death Row.
Sure.
Released 20 years ago, Christmas on Death Row is a compilation of various artists on the Death Row label.
Oh, that Death Row.
Yes. If you like your holiday tunes filled with curse words, this one's for you. And it includes Snoop and Nate Dogg's Santa Claus Goes Straight to the Ghetto, which, by the way, the James Brown version of that is the greatest thing ever. One of the greatest things ever. You ever hear that song, Esmeralda?
No.
Santa Claus Goes Straight to the Ghetto? You've never
no.
heard? Oh, it's amazing. Now, that's what we got here. It's Snoop and Nate Dogg's cover of that. Here's a little bit of that. But the James Brown version is exquisite. Here we go. This is on the Death Row Christmas album. Is this the time to get together and give all you got? You got food, good moods, and what's better than together with your people? Swear wishes, give a toast by the tree. It's Merry Christmas. Santa Claus, don't get too close because you might get shot. Welcome to the ghetto. Welcome to the ghetto. Yeah. Dan, can you find the James Brown version of that? Santa Claus go straight to the ghetto. It's so great. It's so great. It also has 6 Feet Deep's cover of Silent Night on the Death Row album. They covered Silent Night on a Death Row album? I bet that's special. All right, this next one. I mean, the songs on it are kind of, you know, they're regular and they've got really, you know, good guests on it. But it's just, if you look at the album cover, it's Christmas with Colonel Sanders. And it's just like Colonel Sanders with a Santa hat on, just being Colonel Sanders and smiling. But it's loaded with like big artists, like Chet Atkins is on it. He covers Jingle Bell Rock. Came out in 1969. I'm not sure what. Maybe it was a tie-in. Like if you bought chicken, you got it. I don't know. Do we have a? Leave something fruity for Donnie, and don't forget about Gary. Santa Claus
straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto. Tell him James Brown sent you. Go straight to the ghetto.
Come on now.
You know that I know.
It's fantastic.
What you will see, 'cause that was once me.
So good. That's one of my favorite Christmas songs. One of my favorite Christmas songs of all time. You've never heard that before, Esmeralda?
I haven't.
Oh,
it sounds
man.
As good. I like it.
It's awesome. You got to listen to the whole thing. It's great. It's great. Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto. Awesome. All right. So from that Colonel Sanders, inexplicably called Christmas with Colonel Sanders. I don't know, Colonel Sanders got Harry Belafonte to do a song. Because, you know, Harry Belafonte and Colonel Sanders, they probably go way back. Here's Harry Belafonte's tribute or contribution to Christmas with Colonel Sanders.
Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. Hark now, hear the angels sing, a new king born today. And man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
Perfectly lovely. Perfectly lovely. I don't know what the hell it has to do with chicken or Colonel Sanders. And if I'm not mistaken, Dan, the article that we got this from, that's like the picture, like right on the
that is the profile picture.
That's the profile picture. Yeah. Esmeralda, did you see the cover of the album?
I have not yet.
It's on our Facebook page. If you go to our Facebook page, you know, the profile picture with this article that we're talking about is the cover of the Colonel Sanders Christmas album. Just doesn't make any sense at all. But that was nice. Harry Belafonte, beautiful, beautiful voice, beautiful song. Just don't quite understand the Colonel Sanders connection there. Okay. It's Fly Jam Bob. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Nick. Hey. You ever heard Little River Band's version of that song?
The last song we just played?
Yes.
Mary's Little Boy Child?
Yes.
No.
I'm going to send it to you next Wednesday.
Okay.
It's a great song.
Okay, cool.
From Stars Come Out for Christmas, Roy Leonard's favorite Christmas song.
Oh, that's right. How did I never hear that before? Maybe I have heard it and I just don't remember it.
Anyway, first of all, the reason Colonel Sanders has a Christmas album, I own that album, by the way.
There's a bunch of great artists on it, yeah.
Yes, well, you have, being that you're a little younger than me, you don't remember this, but back in the 60s, people would only release like 45s.
Right.
For Christmas songs.
Right. No, I remember that, Bob. I'm old enough to remember that, yeah.
Well, but what I'm saying is now it's a big deal. Everybody does Christmas albums. But back then they only did 45s, and they didn't put them on their regular albums because they were Christmas songs.
Right.
So the album companies got the idea. If you remember Firestone Tires?
Yeah.
Firestone used to sell a Christmas album every year with various Christmas artists.
Okay.
So this Colonel Sanders was just a way to jump on and sell something else at Christmas time and for them to make some more money off
right.
of those Christmas 45.
So that eventually turned into what K-Tel did in the 70s.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, Chip Davis and Mannheim Steamroller.
Yeah.
Are you aware that Chip Davis, who produced and wrote and created all those Mannheim Steamroller albums, is the same person as C.W. McCall, Convoy?
Wait a minute. What? That's
you know
the wait,
C.W.
wait, wait. Yeah, that's the same guy?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. I didn't know that. Wow.
Well, I thought you might be interested. And it's also interesting you bring up Mel Torme. And, you know, he wrote that song in July.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, yeah. And you've got, I think it might even been in Chicago, if I heard that story right.
Yeah.
But
He wrote that song in July, and it's become one of the most quintessential Christmas songs. Well,
yes, you've got Mel Torme and Irving Berlin, who wrote White's Christmas, both a couple of Jews.
That's right. that wrote the quintessential Christmas song.
Yep.
That's amazing. All right, Bob, thanks, man.
You're most welcome.
All right,
see you Friday.
See you Friday. There you go. Good old Fly Jam Bob. He didn't say anything about the Sox. What the hell is wrong with him?
He's going to stop talking about that, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. We got some more Christmas album stuff coming in here. I'm going to save this one for a little bit. To this day, I still love the Christmas on Death Row album. 773 area code. Likes the entire Death Row album. 815 area code. One of the first Christmas albums I ever bought was the Star Wars Christmas album. It featured backup singer John Bon Jovi, who later changed his name to John Bon Jovi. Wait a minute. Can we confirm this, Dan?
It is true, yes.
It's true. John Bon Jovi's a backup singer on the Star Wars Christmas album.
Yes.
Yet another reason to hate him. What? John Bon Jovi's a backup singer on the Star Wars Christmas album. Esmeralda, remember we were talking about the what can you buy a Wookiee when he already has a comb? You remember that?
Yeah, but I don't remember the punchline.
No, it's not a punchline. It was a song, and it's
it was a song.
Yeah. Somebody picked it on what was it? Dan, was it Wild Card Wednesday when somebody picked that?
Yes.
Last week.
Gosh, I don't even remember.
Yeah, what do you buy a Wookiee when he already has a comb?
Was it the little kids?
It's one of the it's like kids singing it. Yeah,
was it little kids singing? Okay.
Yeah.
And how did I forget that?
That's from the Christmas album. That's from the infamous Star Wars Christmas album. Which, by the way, I don't want people to get confused with the Star Wars Christmas special, which is different and on a whole nother level of surreal awfulness. Esmeralda, have you had the pleasure of seeing the Star Wars Christmas special?
You know, I've been to parties where they've been playing it, but I do not have the attention span to sit there and watch it.
You got to see it. You got it just once. You really just one time watch it all the way through. You don't have to watch it ever again. And I don't think you'll ever want to watch it again unless, you know, you're at a party and people are drinking, you know. It's amazing. It's so bad that George Lucas, you know, banned it. It was shown one time. It was never released. He forbade anybody from showing it or releasing it on video or DVD. There were bootleg copies. I have a bootleg copy of it. That was transferred from a VHS tape. But that's different than the Star Wars Christmas album. They both suck, but they suck in different ways. And they're not connected. It's two separate Star Wars Christmas-themed pieces of art. So, all right. We've got more weird Christmas albums coming up here, and we want to hear from you. What are your favorite ones or... you know, ones that you guys listen to all the time. Yeah, in my house growing up, it was number one, without question, was Johnny Mathis. That was a staple with my folks and me. That one was played repeatedly. And then the Elvis Christmas, one of the Elvis Christmas albums. I don't remember which specific one. But it would have, I'll have a blue Christmas without you. Had that on it. All the other hits. So, 312-981-7200. We got a break here. We've got weather. We've got traffic.
Who loved you, even though she knew you was wrong?
.773 area code for Two for Tuesday. Lou Reed, second song in that twofer. Coney Island, baby. Yeah, Two for Tuesday. Yeah, get your requests in. 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're here till 5 a.m. And we're talking about weird Christmas albums. Listen to little pieces from these weird Christmas albums. And then talking about your favorite holiday and Christmas albums that you listened to when you were growing up, or maybe some of your current favorites of all time. And now, we've talked about this one before. Esmeralda, the next one on the list... is It's a Waffle House Christmas. You ever been to a Waffle House, Esmeralda?
No. Those are only South, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They're great. You know, all night, you know, Kid Rock likes to go in drunk and wreck the place. That's one of his one of the things that Kid Rock has done. When I was dating a girl whose parents lived in Franklin, Tennessee, which is right outside of Nashville, which, by the way, is where Spike Odell lives now. Good old Spike. I went to the Waffle House like at least three times during a couple of trips to Franklin. And it's great. But anyway, the Waffle House Christmas album, it was compiled by Jerry Buckner and Gary Garcia, the guys responsible for the 1982 novelty song Pac-Man Fever. What did they call themselves, Dan, when they released Pac-Man Fever? Didn't they call themselves? Didn't they have like a...
Let me see if I can check that down.
Pac-Man Fever. Esmeralda, you don't remember this because you weren't born, but they released a song called Pac-Man Fever because, you know, Pac-Man was so popular.
Right. I don't remember it, but I remember
you've
it.
Heard it.
I've heard it, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, when it was like on the charts, you weren't alive yet.
Probably not.
No, because it was 82.
Buckner and Garcia.
Oh, they did go. Oh, they went by their real names.
Yeah,
I thought they had some wacky
last names. Yeah.
I thought they had some wacky name. There are traditional songs on the album, but the best is the Waffle House 12 Days of Christmas. Now, I've played this before on the show, and I love it. Listen to this, Esmeralda. Listen to how special this is. This is the 12 Days of Christmas Waffle House version. Waffle House 12 Days of Christmas.
At the Waffle House on Christmas, my true love gave to me
12 takeout boxes, 11 cokes of fizz,
10 cups of coffee, scattered smothered hash browns,
8 chicken sandwiches, 7 T-bone steaks,
6 different omelets,
5 pork chops grilled,
4 eggs of fry,
3 sausage patties, 2 waffles baking,
and a bowl of delicious hot grits. And a bowl of delicious hot grits.
That's pretty great.
Man, now I want some smothered
hash browns. That's what they serve there. That's the kind of food you get at Waffle House, like 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, it's pretty great. But yeah, I love that, man. I just think that's great. The 12 Days of Christmas Waffle House edition. Just going down the menu, essentially. 5 pork chops grilled. That's the big one. Instead of 5 golden rings, it's 5 pork chops grilled. That makes sense. Replace it with a pork product. If you're gonna replace gold with anything, it should be pig. So, okay. Let's talk to Paxton on WGN. Hi, Paxton.
Good morning, Nick.
Morning.
Good radio.
Thank you, sir.
Back in the 70s, on their White album, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer used that Royal Festival Hall organ, and Greg Lake did a haunting version of I Believe in Father Christmas.
It's great.
I know. I've never been able to find that album.
You can't find that? Really?
No. I go to record stores, and that's the only song I like off that album. You're familiar with it?
Oh, absolutely. Of course. Yeah. No, that was a staple when I was in the 70s. Oh, yeah.
But that means the song.
Yo, no, absolutely, of course. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I thought it was the only one.
No. It's phenomenal. ELP, it's great. It's great. Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to hear just a cut of it.
Do we have any, Dan?
Trying to track it down.
He's trying to track it down. I guess maybe they buried this one, but it's great. Yeah. Now, I Believe in Father Christmas, Greg Lake. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It is. I just would love to find that, and I'll keep looking.
Okay. All right, Paxton. Keep your radio
all right,
on,
thanks,
buddy.
Guys.
Take care. Yeah, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, man. Yeah. You never got into prog rock, did you, Esmeralda?
No. No, that was... Nope.
I'm shocked.
Did not.
I'm shocked. Dan, do you ever have a prog rock phase?
Can't say that I did.
Oh, man. I've seen Yes like 7 times. Sometimes they only play one song. And it lasts 1 hour and 26 minutes. And it rules. Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, I ran hot and cold on those guys. In the world of prog rock, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, sometimes they did Fanfare for the Common Man. They would go back and do like classical stuff and throw that in. You know, you guys remember? Ooh, what a lucky man he was.
No,
nothing.
Mm-mm.
Seriously. You don't remember Lucky Man by ELP? Dan?
I do not remember it, but I believe we have I Believe in Father Christmas.
Ah, here we go. Greg Lake from... Yeah. No, that's I can't believe you can't find that. That was like a staple on, I mean, even on all the radio stations that played Christmas music like in the 70s and 80s. They played that one a lot. Yeah. But you don't remember, oh, what a lucky man he was. No memory of that at all. Because, you know, I'm singing it exactly like it sounds on the record. That was a staple on your classic rock stations, man. I can't, you know, you worked for The Loop for a while, Esmeralda. You don't know Lucky Man?
They did not play that.
They didn't play Lucky Man by Emerson, Lake, and Palmer?
No, I don't think they played any Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Come on, now! The Loop had to play. I think they legally had to play Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, or else they couldn't be called The Loop.
They had a lot of Rush to play.
Yeah, man.
So I think they had to, you know.
So they cut it was some e- it was out. Either Rush or ELP. You can't have both.
No,
you can't.
They were going when I was there. They were trying to go that whole classic rock, but not classic rock, like music that will be classic rock. So they were trying to do a little modern rock.
Oh, like yeah. Throwing Pearl Jam in there every once in a
yep.
while or something.
Mm-hmm.
I see. I get it. All right. And I've clarified this before. When I was growing up, it wasn't classic rock. It was just rock, damn
right.
it.
Yes.
Next on the weird holiday albums, A Rosy Christmas. This album was just an excuse for then-daytime talk show host Rosie O'Donnell to brag about how she was buddies with Celine Dion, Elton John, and Elmo. They sing middling duets with them. Cher contributes a dance electro version of Darlene Love's Already Perfect Christmas, Baby, Please Come Home. What the hell, man? While Gloria Estefan and Rosie sing Gonna Eat for Christmas. And there you go. Lauryn Hill has a funky little drummer boy, and it sounds and it's the only saving grace until Rosie chimes in and ruins it. Okay. You know, one of the things, I'm going to play the Cher version real quick here, Esmeralda, of Christmas, Baby, Please Come Home, Darlene Love, which is one of the greatest things ever that's ever been recorded. And there's a lot missing every year now, Esmeralda. Were you a fan of David Letterman? Did you watch David Letterman?
I didn't really, no.
Okay. David Letterman did a thing, the last show before Christmas break. He would have Jay Thomas come on. He would tell the Lone Ranger story. This is a Christmas tradition on David Letterman's show every year. Jay Thomas would come on, tell his legendary story featuring the Lone Ranger. They would throw the football at the meatball, which was on top of the Christmas tree. Instead of an angel or a star, they had a meatball up there. And every year he would tell the Lone Ranger story, and then they would both see who could hit the meatball off the top of the Christmas tree with the football. And then the show would close with Darlene Love singing Christmas, Baby, Please Come Home every year. And it was a holiday tradition. I watched it every year, and it was absolutely, seriously became one of my favorite things during the holidays was watching the David Letterman Christmas show with Jay Thomas telling the Lone Ranger story, them whipping a football at the meatball on top of the tree, and Darlene Love closing it with Baby Come Home. So... It doesn't, and it was the last one was 2014. I think it was, 2015. Was it last year? He was on last year, right? It was last year because Craig retired in 2014. So it went 2014 Craig and then 2015 Dave. So, anyway. All right, we got a break here. We got the news coming up and then more crazy Christmas music. And speaking of Craig Ferguson, I see how I segue sometimes. Celebrity
Fair
name
enough.
Game coming up. You see, I'm a pro. All right, we'll be right back. News is next.
I'm not asking for another change. I just want to know where. There's no easy way out.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trip Tower, here till 5. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, and Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Our phone number is 312-981-7200, 2 for Tuesday. Does this guy have two songs?
Yeah.
He does? This is Ike and Country Club Hills, Robert Tepper, No Easy Way Out.
I could be wrong, actually.
This guy's got two.
Someone else.
Wasn't that like a Stallone movie or something? No Easy Way Out, wasn't it?
Oh, that's what. Yeah.
Which one? Cobra.
What? Yeah, it was Cobra.
Was it Cobra?
It was Cobra.
Oh man.
What's your take on Cobra? I gotta know.
Oh God, it's terrible, Vic. Why do you like Cobra?
I do. Well, I mean, I liked it when I was much younger.
Yeah. Don't
I probably watched.
Don't
it
ruin your.
Times.
Don't ruin your.
Yeah.
Your memory.
Actually, it looks like No Easy Way Out is from the Rocky IV song.
Oh, Rocky IV. Oh, okay. Oh, Eric would have known that. Eric revealing yesterday morning that his favorite Rocky movie is Rocky IV. He watched it 6,000 times.
Coincidentally, the second song of the Two for Tuesday is from Cobra.
Oh, no.
Whoa.
So wait a minute. Was Robert Tepper, you know, when Frank Stallone didn't work? What did he do when he wouldn't hire his brother Frank? Sylvester Stallone hired this guy Robert Tepper? Vic, I think that's hilarious that you remember this guy.
How is that possible?
I have no idea.
The next one is off of Cobra when we were just
I know.
Talking. What are the odds of that?
I don't know.
That's incredible odds.
Robert Tepper. I have no idea who that guy is. I don't. I remember that song. I remember it. I knew it was. I just remember it being connected to a Stallone movie. I just don't. I have no idea who Robert Tepper is.
Well, I can't wait to hear the next one.
Vic, who is he? You're in his fan club. Who's
No, honestly, I didn't know his name. I thought it was someone else that sang that song.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia page for him, written by Vic Vaughn. born in New Jersey, moved to New York, worked with Benny Bardonis on the hit ballad Into the Night, which earned them a Grammy nomination. Moved to Los Angeles, where actor Sylvester Stallone was taken with his song No Easy Way Out, which
see.
Led to the inclusion in
there
Rocky IV.
Okay. That's more than you've ever thought that you would learn about Robert Tepper. I am so pleased to host a show that is informing everyone in the world about Robert Tepper.
Let's see you come back.
Yeah. Robert Tepper. All right. Hey, by the way, I'm going to do a shameless plug here of my screening of 1941 tonight. Vic, are you coming?
I can't make it tonight.
Oh.
I'm going to make it to your next one for sure.
Okay. Well, this is a great one. It was chosen because it's awesome. It's one of my favorite Spielberg movies, and it has really very rarely been screened on the big screen. It's digitally remastered. The sound, the picture, everything is going to be amazing. One of my favorite Steven Spielberg movies. It's called 1941. A crazy, crazy over the top comedy that I've often said it's Steven Spielberg's. It's a mad, 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 mad world. Dan Aykroyd, Ned Beatty, John Belushi, Lorraine Gary, Murray Hamilton, Christopher Lee, Tim Matheson, Toshiro Mifune, Warren Oates, Robert Stack, Treat Williams, Nancy Allen, John Candy, Eddie Deason, Diane Kaye, Perry Lang, Patti LuPone, Frank McRae, Slim Pickens, Wendy Jo Sperber, Dub Taylor, Joe Flaherty, Michael McKean, David Lander. And the list goes on and on and on. An incredible cast and a really fun movie with lots of big laughs, lots of great special effects. It's a movie that is meant and was made to be seen on the big screen, and there isn't a better theater where you can see it than tonight. And it's the screening is tonight, Tuesday night. It starts at 8 o'clock. We'll meet at 7, have some dinner at Bogart's on the second floor of the Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont. And it's only $10 to get in. Parking is free, and you don't get to see this movie on the big screen very often. If you've never seen it, you should come out. If you've only seen it on the small screen, you should come out and see it. And this is a movie that, when it came out, was not massively popular, not critically acclaimed, but over the years has grown to a beloved cult movie and a great movie to watch at Christmas. It takes place on the night of December 13th into December 14th. It takes place in one night, a week after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. And it's all about the hysteria and insanity that L.A. was going through, thinking that they were going to be the next target. An incredible cast, beautifully made, wonderful old school miniature special effects, and big, big, big laughs. And it's a very Christmassy movie. It's a great movie to watch around Christmas. So I picked this one for tonight, and I really hope you guys can come out. We want to pack the place for this one. And we're celebrating our fifth anniversary. Tonight is the fifth anniversary of the Nick DiGilio Film Club, our fifth anniversary and our 62nd movie. And I hope you guys can make it out tonight. Get your tickets. There are plenty available now. Get some dinner early on, and then the movie starts at 8. I'll introduce it. We'll do a little talk afterwards. I got a ton of stories about the making of this movie. Lots of great trivia and lots of great stories behind the scenes. And we'll talk all about that. Only $10, parking free. Go to carmike.com right now and reserve your seats. They'll be waiting for you. And that is carmike.com, C-A-R-M-I-K-E, C-A-R-M-I-K-E, carmike.com. Reserve your seats for tonight, starting at 8 o'clock, 1941, on the big screen, Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont. Really easy to get to, and parking is free. So come on out and see 1941. All right, Esmeralda, are you ready for the next weird or offbeat crazy holiday album?
Yeah.
How about Merry, Merry Christmas from the New Kids on the Block?
Oh, nice.
Now,
I feel like I probably have heard these songs.
Released in 1989, at the height of NKOTB's fame, this holiday record sold 2 million copies. The band wrote a few original songs, such as the sappy This One's for the Children, which became a top 10 hit, and Funky Funky Xmas, which tried too hard to emulate Christmas and Hollis. All right, Esmeralda, you ready for a little Funky Funky Xmas?
Yeah. Here I love go. Christmas and Hollis.
I do, too. And I'm really doubt that New Kids on the Block will be able to even come close to the genius of Christmas and Hollis, but here we go. Oh, wait, this is Cher.
I was going to say.
Yeah, this
really
is Cher. This
like
is from
Cher.
No, this is Cher. This is the Rosie O'Donnell thing. That is absolutely awful. Awful. Oh my God. Darlene Love should punch Cher right in the face. All right, so that was from the Rosie O'Donnell album. In the segment before the news, I was talking about that, and I forgot to play the song. So let's we were just building up the suspense, Esmeralda. That's what I was trying to do.
Right.
Build up the suspense to Funky Funky Christmas by New Kids on the Block.
New Kids on the Block. We're gonna celebrate with a rhyme. Danny D, are you ready? Ready as a lion, just steady.
You know Joey Joe's ready.
Jordan and John,
yeah,
come on. We got a funky, funky Christmas going on.
Have a funky, funky Christmas. Have a funky, funky Christmas.
Good Lord. Oh, man. So there you go. There you go, Esmeralda. Are you going to have a funky, funky Christmas?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man.
With
New Kids
Joey
on the
Joe.
Block with Joey Joe. Where was Donnie? I didn't hear. Where was Donnie? Was Donnie?
I think he was an afterthought.
Okay.
They kind of jumbled all the names together at the end there.
Oh, boy. Well, Donnie was the tough one. He was the street hood, right? Wasn't he the... Donnie was the
yes.
He had the yeah. He was the one.
Donnie
familiar,
was the tough.
He was the he was
he's from Boston.
The streets.
So he's a tough.
Yeah, he's tough. Wahlberger. All right, we'll finish out this crazy, weird holiday Christmas albums, and then we've got a bunch of texts coming in with people with their favorite Christmas albums. And after the 4:30 news, Esmeralda and I are going to go head to head in Thunderdome, or as Tina Turner calls it, Thunderdome. All right. Yeah. the magnificent Robert Tepper. This is from Cobra. Angel of the City, Ike and Country Club Hills, found the two Robert Tepper songs that exist for Two for Tuesday. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Got some texts here. Christmas music. 574 says, one of my favorite Christmas songs is Walking Around in Women's Underwear by Bob Rivers. Sounds very Christmassy to me. One of my favorite Christmas traditions, walking around in women's underwear. Jay in Ohio says, Christmas with the Chipmunks was weird, but my siblings and I loved it.
Oh, I listened to that.
Yeah.
Forgot about that.
That's fantastic.
Christmas, Christmas.
Simon. Yeah. No, that's
or no, Alvin.
That's Alvin, not Simon. Alvin. Hey, you know what movie opens up with that song? And it's not a Christmas movie? Although, obviously, the beginning of the movie takes place around Christmas, but it's not a Christmas movie?
No.
Almost Famous.
Oh.
Almost Famous opens with that song. 574 says, the Trans-Siberian Orchestra was really the heavy metal band Savatage. No. No. What? Yes?
Savatage actually predated Trans-Siberian Orchestra, but
members
of Savatage went on to form Trans-Siberian.
My mind has been blown a couple of times this morning. C.W. McCall was in the Mannheim Steamroller, and now Savatage, the hair metal band from the 80s, is the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. What's happening now? Is Robert Tepper going to release a new album? Was that going to top everything off? Keith in Kansas said Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass is the best Christmas album ever. That's a good album. 815 area code says, another fun fact, Mel Torme wrote the Christmas song in his home in Palm Springs, and it was 105 degrees out. We were talking about that he wrote it in July. 773, Curtis Blow Christmas rapping. Okay. 630 area code, Bob Dylan made a Christmas album. It's very strange. I do not doubt that a Bob Dylan Christmas album would be very strange.
That's pretty recent.
Yeah.
Isn't it? He had that weird song
on
there. Yeah,
it was like 10 years ago, I think. Maybe a little bit less than that. 10 years. Yeah. Sue says, Monsters Holiday. Okay. Now, our next cut is from Christopher Lee. Yes, Christopher Lee, who played Dracula to Peter Cushing's Van Helsing. Christopher Lee, who was the king in the Lord of the Rings movies, he was in the Star Wars movies, and he's Christopher Lee, legendary horror actor, doing a bunch of Hammer movies. He was a heavy metal lover all the way up until his death in his 90s, and he recorded a Christmas album. It was an EP called A Heavy Metal Christmas in 2012, and in 2012, he was well into his 80s at that point. And it had metal covers of Silent Night. So it's Christopher Lee doing a metal cover of Silent Night. And here is his metal cover of The Little Drummer Boy, Christopher Lee.
A newborn king to see on the bottom. The finest gifts we bring on the bottom.
That's a jam. Christopher Lee. Christopher Lee was like one of the coolest dudes that ever lived. I love the fact that he and Peter Cushing were best friends. Peter Cushing, my childhood hero. Oh, love it. All right. We got time, I think, for maybe two more clips here real quick. Let's go to this. Hold on a second. Okay. Here is... let's see, Snowflake, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas. This is Snowflake, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas from the, I don't know what this one is. What's this one from? Do you know where the snowflake white Christmas? What was that from?
Part of the disco.
Oh, it's part of the disco one. Okay. All right. So here, this is from the Yuletide Disco and Disco Noel. And this is by Snowflake. That's certainly a disco version. Yep. All right, the last one is This Christmas by Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta. Now, everybody knows that Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta were in Grease together. Now, Esmeralda, are you aware of the other time that they did a movie together?
He wasn't in Xanadu, was he?
No. No. That was Michael Beck from The Warriors.
Okay.
No. It was a movie, and it is seriously one of the worst movies ever made in the history of any cinema. It was called Two of a Kind. And I remember Oliver Reed was in it, and he played the devil. I can't remember the plot. I think they're both ghosts or something. Or one of them is a spirit. And there was a single. Olivia Newton-John had like a hit single. I remember we came out like in 80 or 81, maybe. Or 82, right around that time. Maybe 83. Early 80s is what I'm saying. Two of a Kind. One of the worst movies I have ever seen in my life. And the damn thing was on cable all the time. It was one of those movies that was like, yeah, what are we going to show? Let's just show Two of a Kind. We'll show it every 5 hours. You ever hear of the movie, Esmeralda?
I have not.
Oh, my God. Well, here's a little clip from their they duet on Baby, It's Cold Outside. Oh, the date rape song. I'll Be Home for Christmas, featuring Barbra Streisand, but Travolta can't sing, and the album cover is just plain scary. This is from This Christmas by Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta.
Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas if only in my dream.
Oh man, is that bad? Oh man. Man, when Travolta comes in, oh, Esmeralda, I think the Alley Cats, Travolta has usurped your power over the Alley Cats this morning.
Thanks a lot, Travolta.
Oh, my God. All right. We got a break. The news is coming up next, and then Esmeralda and I will have another challenging celebrity name game. Oh, and we'll get to hear the new theme that Jason Skaggs composed for our celebrity name game. That's all coming up after the news, which is next.